This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Tuesday, the 13th of September, 2022. My name is Patrick Smith. We're live on YouTube, we're on Facebook, Twitter, and you also download us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor FM, and all your normal podcast providers. And on this week's show, a victory in the CHL against Czech opponents. Bring a bit of deja vu to us all. However, the victory over Trinity came and became a battle in a fever pitch SSC arena atmosphere. And now we settle back to domestic competition with the Five Flyers, home and away. And if we can say, it just feels a little bit mundane after the fun that happened on Sunday, but that's the way it is. We'll be talking about that trip to the Swiss Alps and the visit of Trinich. We'll also see the Belfast Telegraph's Adam McKendry joining us again to share the stories of the high peaks. Kieran Long went into this Sunday's game as the Giants' top scorer in the CHL. And following a blistering finish in Davos, he joins us for a chat. So get your questions in. A few pieces of news from around the league. And with Fife opening our domestic account, we chat about the Giants and what they can bring as they move to retain the Challenge Cup. Now, if you're watching us live on Facebook or on YouTube, send your thoughts, your comments, your questions, and we'll share them and maybe get a bit involved in the discussion. And before I introduce my good friends here, of course, we do this podcast while the United Kingdom is in a period of mourning following the passing of Queen Elizabeth II. We come from a complicated place where people's opinions can vary, they can differ, they can outright disagree. Yet respect is something we should hold with each other regardless. And the passing of a monarch will stir up emotions in some more than others, and it'll shock nobody to learn that I am no way a monarchist. Yet my daughter, coming from Manchester as she does, was devastated at the news, and in our window is a picture of Queen Elizabeth II that she drew and coloured in herself. The Giants walk a tightrope at times in our social landscape, and their actions may not be right for some or not quick enough for others. But from my own opinion, I felt they approached this with respect for all sides, and it's a credit to those who undertook it. Social media can be a sewer, sadly, but if there's anything, we need to respect each other. And it's the personal meaning that shines through. So from my point of view, I have great sympathy and condolence to those like Davy, who held the Queen dear to his heart, and to those, and I think the 2 minutes silence that was so impeccably observed in the SSE Arena Sunday shows that we can all have respect for each other. And it's that respect that our own Jim Gillespie wanted so much from this club, and I feel that we showed it. Mr. McGimsey, how are you?
Paddy, I'm very well, thank you. And I guess on a personal level, I'd like to thank you very much for that very kind intro. The very first person on Thursday night to text me condolences was the Pest from the West. So, you know, we will always have our political differences, and we've done our little video and all, and we always will. But, you know, the Queen was someone that grew up, it feels really personal. And I've heard a lot of people saying this on the TV and stuff. It feels like we lost a family member. The Queen was, I know we were different. The Queen was on the wall in my house. The Queen was on the wall in my church, the Orange Hall, the football club, wherever I went, the Queen was just part of our life. So when you lose someone that's been there forever, for me, the 47 years of my life, I know it's hard to believe, but she was just someone that was always there. And it feels like, it kind of felt like when my wee granny went 2 years ago, it kind of feels the same kind of pain. And wasn't expecting it. And I wasn't expecting it to catch me out so much last Thursday night, because obviously something has taken a bit of a turn. And the Queen obviously went very seriously ill from being sort of front facing in the news just a couple of days previous, meeting Liz Truss as the new Prime Minister. And, you know, without going on about too much, yes, it's actually a very somber time. It's actually been quite hard to deal with on a personal level. I'm sure the next few days will be trying as well. But look, from me to the royal family, not that they're probably watching, but my condolences and thank you again for your kind words. And I'll raise one for Her Royal Majesty passed, QET.
You say that, but I hear that the new king said to Joel Neal, "Where's Davy McGimsey?" Is that right, Joel?
Listen, boys, I kind of sit in the middle, literally tonight, but figuratively between you two. But you know, Paddy and Davy, to me, since the first day I walked in the door of the SSE Arena and became aware that you boys existed, your friendship and the dynamic between you that I get to sort of see on the inside in our group chats and whatever else, it's the thing that gives me hope for the future of this wee place, honestly. I don't really sit on either side, to be honest. You know, I'm one of those kind of people that just don't really, I just don't have any feelings really. Obviously, I'm big enough and grown up enough to show respect whenever something like this happens. And I've been captivated by the news this week and just watching history unfold. And I was lucky enough today to be in the cathedral to see that service and see it all happening. But yeah, just that's really touching, Paddy. I didn't know you were doing that tonight. And I think that's a really lovely thing between you two. And it does, it fills me with hope that there's a peaceful future for this place where we can all kind of agree to disagree and respect each other.
And I you know, we feel, especially in this organization, it's all about hope and it's not about hate. There's only one organization that involves hate.
The ship.
I was thinking two, to be honest.
That 20, is true. There is 26,
the 20th anniversary of the 26th of 10th, 2002 is coming fast upon us. And I think we do have a game that night and you wouldn't believe who it's against.
It's almost like it was
it's
planned.
It's not the Nottingham Panthers, is it?
Dundee Stars, I think.
You know what? That would have been my second guess. Right. Let's get stuck into this weekend's games, boys. And we we begin with the game that took place over in the Swiss Alps on Friday night. The Belfast Giants took on the HC Davos. Let me see if I can bring up the statistics here. No, not that picture. That one. Boom. A 5-1 defeat for your Belfast Giants. Davos scoring four in the first period for Corvey, Pressey and Egley. Kieran Long, who will be joining us later on, with a blistering finish in the second period to make it 4-1 before Stransky, not on that picture, but Stransky made it 5-1. What I'm going to do is I'm going to invite in a man who made the trip, and that is the Belfast Telegraph's own Adam McKendry. How are you?
I'm great, guys. Good to see you again.
Look at that blazer. Hold on, let's get rid of this picture.
Get him on.
There we go. That's fantastic. There's a man who's dressed up. For those not watching, listening in and not watching, Mr. McKendry is wearing a very fetching blazer. How are you doing?
Joel, I am the least fashionable person in the world. Like, I will wear the same variation of two different outfits to the SSE Arena every single weekend. So for me to be dressed up like this is like, this is one in a million. So enjoy it while you can.
I think they call that ESPN couture.
I had exactly the same jacket when I went to school, except it had a good badge on it. So fair play to you for keeping it for so long.
This could be my school blazer, just with the logo taken off
strong
it.
Look.
So
it's a strong look.
It was it was a tough, tough, tough first period, Davey. Defensive errors, problems, and you know, Davos were out skating us and they were worth the lead.
Well, first 10 minutes of the game, obviously, we skated as best we could. It's the first team in a long, long time that I've seen a gap in terms of speed all over the ice, and we tried to match them as best we can. And once we got into that second 10 minutes, probably as a club or as a team, we're trying to break games up into, you know, the guys will be doing it shift at a time, but 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, trying to get through the period breaks. And the mantra, I guess, through this all will be try and skate with and stay as close as you can for as long as you can. And that's how, even in the Sunday's game with O'Larry, you stay with these guys as long as you can. You try and get a lead and you try and build it. Unfortunately, once we went that one behind and it went 2-3 quite quick, we were under the pump and we're up against it. And you're almost, even at that stage, damage limitation. And I know Wiss gets pulled at the end of the first period. And I know we had a little back and forth on our WhatsApp, and we'll maybe come on to that. Pulling a goalie isn't always down to the goalie. Pulling the goalie can also be a bit of a wake-up call for the D. And I thought that Jackson will probably only want one of those ones back, the one that goes near side, high near side, where he's driven down the outside of Rayner. Rayner's trying to take away the centre of the ice, I guess, for a pass coming across. It doesn't come, and he goes in and he elevates up over Wiss's shoulder. I think that's the only one, but technically, I guess that was probably the backbreaker as well in the period. The other ones, defence has gone AWOL. You know, there's two of them have been one-on-none, two-on-nones that he just can't do anything about. There's obviously, I think there's the fourth one's possibly just coming either to the end of a power play or on the power play. It's a backdoor shot. But talk about crossing that Royal Road a lot, and we do it with Rayner's goal. good night to mention the Royal Road right enough. You get that goalie going across. For anybody that doesn't know, if you draw a line straight up the ice between the two posts at either end, that blue section, if you like, crossing that is very, very hard for a goaltender known as the Royal Road in the game. You cross that, it's very hard for a goaltender going east-west, I guess, to make that move if you get it right. So they moved us well. I think at least two of their goals came across there. One of them's hit the post and gone back and hit West on the backside and gone in. So it's been unfortunate as well, but I just thought that Davos just all over the ice, they suffocated us on the penalty kill. We had power play opportunities and they did to us what we were doing to elite league teams last year. They penned us in our own zone. We couldn't get a controlled breakout. We couldn't get wingers activating to transition the puck. And we're doing a lot of this skating up, dropping it for the second, third man, coming to try and bring the transition. But they were on top of us so quick, having to cycle in behind our net and try and restart. And power players really came to nothing. And at 4-0 at the end of first, it was damage limitation. And Jones obviously coming in relief of Whistle, I still think, was as much a shout of the day. You've got to wake up here, boys, as it was the Jackson.
I fully agree with that, Joel. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, look, I'm not going to add a great deal to that. I think there's an interesting piece of context here that I think people maybe forgot. You know, I was on the tweets, the game tweets on Friday night during the game, and I saw a few people sort of going, oh, this is terrible, this is dreadful, we're falling apart, blah, blah, blah. Let's remember that we're playing in the Champions Hockey League against one of the most storied teams in Europe. Yeah. You're talking about HC Davos here, the birthplace of the Spengler Cup. You know, this is a serious, serious hockey team. And I'm not saying that the Belfast Giants aren't, because as I said last week, called it. We came home on Sunday, we got a result. But you're talking about, maybe Kendo, you'll know more than me, but the NHL experience and the sort of senior European minutes in that team versus the Giants, even in terms of player budget, the gulf between the sides is just absolutely extraordinary. What I thought was really interesting was that it was probably due to the kind of slightly physical start. You know, there was that big hit. Mark Cooper absolutely emptied Sven Jung down behind the Davos net. And for some reason, Davos then... it was a big hit Ben Lake laid as well. Took real exception to Laker during those opening few minutes. So it got really physical really early, which is interesting whenever you're playing a European team. And I think we had to really find a level and really stick to a high tempo from the drop. I think you're probably right, Davey, in terms of the goals. You know, that the first one, Joachim Nordstrom had an absolutely sensational screen in front of Wiss. Wiss had absolutely nothing. He took his eyes. There's nothing that the best goalies can do whenever you've got a screen that good in front of net. Enzo Corvi, that second goal across the blue line, great snipe. It was Prassel's third that was roofed near side that Wiss would probably want back. But at that point, your defense has abandoned you. You know, you're the third goal there within a minute and a half or so. Everybody is chasing the game. That ice is tilted against you. So there are, again, contextual things there that you have to put into place and consider, for Wiss. And then the fourth was a brilliant stretch pass. Again, as you say, David, across the Royal Road for a snipe for 4-0. Apart from that kind of 4 or 5 minutes of madness, again, we hung with them, you know, and I don't think it's entirely fair to lump that all on Wiss. I think Aaron Murphy, to his credit, actually said it on the broadcast as well, that change in goal was a message to everybody, and it was clearly heated as we come out in the second period far better. And it could have been 4-2. There was a beautiful play. Mark Cooper actually left for longer in the slot, but Gilly Sen made a good save on that. But again, you go back and look at these little moments where, man, if we bang another one in there, what happens in the third period? But all in all, you know, it wasn't the disaster it maybe looked like on paper. I think that we hung with them for a long time.
Adam, you made the trip out there. Some really great photographs coming back from the beautiful cathedral. As it is, it looks like a fantastic place. Gives an insight to, you know, your trip over and your thoughts on the game.
The first thing I'll say is one of the first people I spoke to about Ice Stadium Davos was George Iwata, and I was asking him, what do you make of this place? And he says, it reminds me a lot of IKEA. There's a lot of wood here. not quite the glowing recommendation I expected. The place is pristine. I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable. You think about the history in that place. You think about all the games that have gone before, Spengler Cup, Davos winning, 31 national championships. You've got a standing area behind one of the goals, which is just incredible. There, I think it's called the Sector 1921, who made noise for the entirety of the game. Absolutely incredible. And that's even before you talk about the town itself. you know, I'm sure everyone's seen pictures of what Davos looks like, but you really can't do it enough justice in a picture. Like, this place is situated right at the bottom of two Alps. It's absolutely stunning. And I mean, anybody who knows me knows that the only team that I wanted the Giants to draw for the CHL was Davos. I didn't care about the other two teams. I just wanted Davos. So whenever it came out, it was almost like I willed them into existence. And so I've done my research on Davos. I knew what was coming. And even so, I was still blown away by the vistas, the scenery. Absolutely incredible. So just a superb place. Hockey mad. Like, everybody in that town seems to love the team. And it doesn't shock me at all. So absolutely incredible. Got to spend most of the Friday with Dave McCammond, who came over, who was so dedicated. He flew over on the Friday morning, drove straight to Davos, didn't eat or anything. I met him at the arena, and he was like, the first thing he said was, "I'm starving." So went and grabbed food, went up on the wee funicular up to the top of one of the peaks alongside Davos, and just incredible. You just can't help but fall in love with the place for how good it is. And I really want to go back whenever it snows. Apparently, the place is just absolutely unbelievable when it snows.
Ski season.
Listen, mate, you haven't seen me on skis, and nobody will ever see me on skis.
I'm built for solid land. Paddy's back, but I'm going to just bring you in on the... We're obviously talking about the kind of four-goal spell there at the end of the first period. What's your take on that in terms of... I'm not going to say where the blame lies, but what unfolded there? Paddy, just before you carry on, that's a very effective costume change. Well done, mate. I think he was getting some chirps in the background for the stripy t-shirt, which I actually quite like.
My own
liked,
brother as well.
Disgraceful. I mean, but yeah, Kendall, yeah, that four-goal period, that four-goal stretch when things kind of got a little loosey-goosey, how did you see that from being there and in the arena in front of you?
I was hoping Paddy was going to join me in the slightly more dressed-up school, but...
Get a blazer on.
I'll give you the definitive answer on why West was pulled, and it's essentially what you guys are saying. It's because Kiefer wanted to give the a bit of a kick up the backside. Attaboy, Paddy. That's what I like. That's what I like.
Just happened to be one there.
So Kiefer said, you know, he was pulled because he needed to give the guys a kick up the backside. And I think you guys are right. Wisp didn't do a whole lot wrong. You probably want that one where he gets sniped on the short side back. But really, you know, there's nothing you can do about Forrest because of the screen. There's nothing you can do about the one-on-one breakaway. The D just let him down. And look, Jonesy came in, was good. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not trying to talk down Jonesy, but the D really did step up their game for the second and third periods, and that helped massively. So look, it's we know what happens in the CHL. We saw it in Liberets the last time we were in the CHL. But as soon as these teams get ahead of steam up, they don't take their foot off the gas, and they really make you pay for it. And I think just the Giants took their eyes off the ball for maybe, I think it was, what, a minute and 23 seconds. And I think that's why Davos ended up running away with it. But apart from that, I can't help but agree with you, Joel. I mean, besides that, it was another game where I don't think they were massively outplayed. Davos were the better team, I think, for the majority of the game. But that second period was good. I think the third period, they hung with them for most of it. And then you could just see the fatigue at the end there. But I don't think the Giants come out of that necessarily, you know, thinking they've been on the end of a hammering. I think they come out of it feeling pretty confident. And if they go on to, if they go into the Trinets game feeling like they're on the end of the hammering, I don't think they end up winning that game. I think they came out of it feeling okay with how they played, and that's what led them to get the win on Sunday, which I know you guys are going to go on and talk about.
Yeah.
Just quickly, before we leave this game, can we just have a word about Kieran Long's finish, Davey?
Really nice. It's Goody, isn't it? I think Goody was on the line with him at times that night, and he's gone down, and he's actually played a really nice play off the half wall in his own end and broke away. I love those plays where a forward can open up and sort of start almost going backwards, and just the release on the shot is just half a second, not half a second, a split second, where he just pauses to let the goalie bite and the goalie goes down and he rips it. Really, really lovely finish from Longer, who's been playing really well in the first lot of CHL games. And I think Joel in the intro, or maybe yourself in the intro, said about wearing that top scorer's jersey that's probably a wee bit heavier than all the other jerseys. So, you know, you carry that, and he carried it well the other night in the Oselari game. So, you know, credit to him. Really, really top quality scorer's finish. And we know that through history, if Longer gets ice time and confidence, which is probably what we'll talk to him when he comes on later on. But if you get that ice time, if you can earn that ice time and you have that quality and you start going those hash marks and you start getting between the circles and you get opportunity after opportunity, if you're sitting on the fourth line and you're getting 4 or 5 minutes a night, it's very hard to score 30 goals. When Kieran was playing in Manchester and he was playing top 6 minutes and he was getting chance after chance and he was burying and scoring 30 goals, there's no secret that Kieran Long can score goals. So, you know, he's putting himself in those positions over the last few games. So credit to him, and Long may continue.
Before we let it's you the go, ring, sorry, go on.
It's the ring. It's the power of the ring. That's what I think.
The before
that captain energy.
Before I let you go, Adam, just on Davos, did you travel first class, or we just leave that to David McCammon?
Absolutely not.
A bit of context in Augsburg for the last CHL trip. Myself and Adam travelled normal class, while Mr. McCammon made a big deal of the fact he was going first class on the train.
That's so, like cool FM money, boy. And
we haven't let him live it down since. I'll tell you something that really shocked me. I didn't realise that trains in Switzerland have first class and second class cabins, and there's also restaurant cabins. So I'm sitting there wandering through the cabins and thinking, this is absolutely amazing. Sit down. And this guy comes over to me and he goes, first class ticket. And I just had to sort of put my tail between my legs and slink out and go to one of the second class cabins, because unlike McCammond, my budget does not stretch far enough for first class.
He sat there holding the lobster, just waving you out.
Yeah. Me and Joel would have been saying, let's see you at the station, Adam. even though you've got your own sports jacket, which, by the way, on a podcast is a wild. even Neil Russell, who would wear a scarf,
never wore a jacket.
Didn't wear a jacket indoors. No.
Adam, no, listen, no. Thank you very much for your time. Good to chat to you again,
guys. Thanks very much for having me on. It's great fun.
Cheers, Kendo.
Big thanks to Adam McCandy. Right, let's move on to the game that took place on Sunday. We do have Kieran Long waiting in the wings, but we're going to quickly batter around this because, of course, once again, well, we'll bring him in a second, but once again, we had a Czech opposition. And once again, in the Champions Hockey League, we defeated Czech opposition. A 3-2 win for your Belfast Giants at home. Goals coming in the first period from Will Cullen, in the second period from Scott Conway, into the third period, and Trinette started to fight their way back with Vrana and Marcinko making it, well, 2-2 with minutes left. The Giants had to weather quite a few penalties, not least a 5-minute major going into overtime. They weathered that, and it went to a shootout. The winning, after quite a few rounds of shootouts, the winning goal was credited to Mark Cooper. Joel, it's hard to put into words the atmosphere that seemed to be in the rink, especially as the Giants were fighting, getting that lead, and even in the likes of the penalty kills.
It was a defensive masterclass of a game. Whenever I was watching that game unfold, especially whenever I watched the 5-on-3 and laid on some of the desperate defending in overtime as well, boys throwing their bodies in front of that puck. Ben Lake, you know, as Jonesy said, he'd throw his face in front of a puck. I thought back to, I think it was Gabe Bast chucking his body in front of a one-timer in preseason. Something clicked in my head then. I was like, if he's willing to do that in preseason, I think we've got something here. This is a game where the defensive side of the puck led us to victory. The atmosphere, I think, you know, a real credit to everybody. You know, that's another difficult afternoon. That's a situation where, as we said at the top of the show, the Belfast Giants have never really been in that situation before. And there was an impeccably observed period of silence. But quite fittingly, I suppose, with the kind of national mood or whatever you want to call it, everything was pared back. You know, there was no lasers and fire and big music and big intro that the teams took to the ice. You know, there weren't sandwiches flying in the period. period breaks. There was maybe a little bit of nervous energy from people coming to the rink that day because, you know, that is a situation that's never been faced before, which I think the club handled perfectly. But for that game to unfold on a Sunday afternoon in front of that atmosphere and that hot crowd, it was absolutely spectacular. I have never heard a cheer. It's not even a cheer, it's a roar, a thunder for a penalty kill like that 5-on-3 in the second period. And if Scott Conway had tucked that under the crossbar on the breakaway straight after that 5-on-3, I honestly think that roof's coming down around us. That was one of the most incredible moments I've ever seen. But yeah, look, an absolutely lion-hearted Adam Keefe defensive masterclass of a game which saw us to victory.
We came out of the traps pretty quick, Davey. We got in their faces, and you know, we talked about last week about how when we faced Liberec last time, you know, we played a physical game that they didn't handle very well. We didn't. I don't think we played an overtly physical game as we played a quick game.
I think 5-on-5 again. We probably carried the horses the most of the game. We got ourselves obviously into a little bit of penalty trouble at times, and that was obviously then you're killing penalties and guys are getting tired, and the fatigue definitely caught up with us. That 5-on-3 going into overtime was something else that the boys had to defend. For context, we had 29 shots on goal the other night. They also blocked 26 shots, you know, so an incredible effort from them, but they had also 40 shots on goal. So defensively, like, bodies were going down in front of Peyton Jones as well. But back on the 5-on-5 point, we were slightly more disciplined, I think, as a collective. There was a couple of moments, obviously, and I still think the call on Rayner is scandalous. It's never a penalty. And I would need to see the Sam Rupp one. Unfortunately, we've got no footage. I haven't been able to get the footage again for the cut for tonight. I don't think Sam's targeting the head. The whistle wasn't, if there's a quicker whistle there, he's offside. Obviously, the guy goes in. Nobody hears the whistle. Sammy doesn't hear the whistle. Peyton Jones makes a save. I can't remember who's going back in with the Ossolari forward. Also doesn't hear the whistle. And it plays out. The goalie makes a save, and then it's whistled for offside. And then they go and Andy Dalton VARs for the penalty. And unfortunately, it goes against us. And we go on to a late 5-on-3, which was, to be honest, we were holding on and thinking, like, obviously they go 4-on-3 in overtime, and everything that brings goes into penalties. I thought that probably did we deserve to win this game?
Statistically, don't you even start?
statistically, maybe not. With heart and soul, absolutely, because we talked about the Davos game, and we talked about the other games we've played so far, and about trying to skate with these teams. Here we quiz question for anyone. Who was the last Czech team to win in the SSE / Odyssey / Ice Bowl / Dundalk, wherever we had played in the past? So that's one for anybody to come up with. There'd be a half a red stripe for anybody that gets that answer right. So I thought that we hung in really well. The fatigue in the last 10 minutes of that game gave them enough legs just to get back into the game. It was really unfortunate. You go to Davos and you have a really, really, really physical game, 60 hard minutes, because they skated fast, and then you've got to do it 2 days later with traveling all in between. We only got home late afternoon. So, you know, in terms of being able to skate with Ossolari, best team in the Czech Republic, hold them for 50 minutes, lead for 50 minutes, and unfortunately not come away with the regulation win, which was what we were really after there. But to come away with the penalty shot win, you know, you'll take any kind of victory in the CHL for sure.
Kevin Rayne posting up on Instagram showing the bruises that take place when you go and you stop these shots.
Talked about the sacrifice, the team sacrifice, and Adam Keefe was, I think it was quite telling in post-game as well, the way he talked about the culture takes care of that. You know, I put it to Adam that the people in this town call that Adam Keefe hockey, and anybody who's been around for a little while will remember Kiefer himself trying to stop a sure Sheffield Steelers goal with his face in 2012 when the Giants were on their way to the league title. But that collective team buy-in has been evident since pre-season, and it's shown itself now. And the last thing just that I'll say, Paddy, whenever I talked to Kiefer after the game, he spoke about how he wasn't overly interested in the scoreboard, more about the performance and playing with pride and showing what the Giants have. If this is us setting the tone for our domestic season, I cannot wait.
Well, you mentioned that. Let's hear from them.
joined after that one by your man of the match tonight, Peyton Jones. Jonesy, that's a, you know, you're only really here a month, not even a couple of months yet, but that's a famous night. You must have been aware of the atmosphere and the reaction to that win tonight.
Yeah, it was awesome. You know, team played great, and the fans, you know, they made the building fun to play in front of.
You're playing there, I think, with real purpose tonight. You seem pretty determined that you were going to get the boys over the line for their first CHL victory.
Yeah, you know, I think that just every day I try to you know, give the boys a chance to win. You know, do everything I can to do that, and you know, luckily tonight it happened in our favor.
It was a game probably defined by the defensive side of the puck. The Giants were sensational on the penalty kill on the 5-on-3, and you must have been aware of the boys throwing their bodies down for you there late on.
Yeah, I mean, they're awesome. I mean, they, like you said, they'll put their face in front of the puck. Rainer, you know, Coops, Basti, all the guys, Rupper. I mean, there's just so many to name. They, you know, they make my life so much easier blocking those pucks. And you know, you talk to them, they're all, you know, banged up from it. But it's that's part of the game. And you know, they just shows that you know, the guys want to win.
You obviously did your part too. That the shootout win and save. Did you get much of a read on them? Did you anticipate what was coming?
I just try to read and react. I don't even know. I was so, like, you know, I just wanted to win. And, you know, try to, like I said, do everything I can to make a save to get the win. I mean, for me, it's just I try to stay in the moment and take it, you know, 1 second at a time. I don't get, you know, I don't think about anything. I just, you know, read and react.
And lastly, Davey Majemsey from the podcast noticed that you bagged that puck at the end there. Is that going on the mantelpiece?
Yeah, I actually got it over there right there. So it's, you know, big win for our team, for me, and, you know, for the fans here. And, you know, we'll have some fun tonight and back to work on Wednesday.
Fully deserved. Well done, Jonesy. Thank you. Joined after that CHL win over Otsulari Trinic by your head coach, Adam Keefe. Coach, that is, bottom line, a famous night in Belfast, yet another one. The Giants, especially defensively, especially in the penalty kill, were nothing short of heroic there tonight.
Yeah, I think, you know, we challenged the group today to not really worry about the scoreboard, to be honest with you. Our performance was important, you know, especially going into our league campaign next weekend. We wanted to make sure that we felt good about ourselves, you know, and the score will take care of itself. And I think right from the drop of the puck, our guys were ready to go. And I love the way that we defended. Didn't give up a ton of shots, didn't give up a ton of scoring chances. And then obviously when we did give them some power plays, our penalty kill was massive. A lot of block shots, a lot of sacrifice in there. And that's great to see so early on.
Just a word for Peyton Jones, who was pretty stellar all night tonight, including that shutout winning save.
Yeah, he was huge. You know, he was steady in there and calming for our group. And when he was challenged, he was there to make the save. And I think, you know, in particular there, that 4-on-3 in overtime, you know, there was a few that were empty nets, and he was battling in there, and he found a way to make a save, and the guys in front of him were battling as well. I can, you know, picture a few that were saved by some block shots, so it was great to see.
Is that something that you coach, or is it something that happens naturally? People in this town call that Adam Keefe hockey. You know, you saw the 5-on-3 early in the game. You saw Ben Lake throwing his body in front of shots, and he was far from the only one. Is there any emphasis on that in preparation, or has it just come out of the culture of the team?
I think the culture takes care of that. You know, you got guys like Laker and Cooper and Rainer that have been doing it for years. And then everybody comes in and just jumps on board and is capable of that as well. And I think seeing everybody, I would love to count the blocks tonight. Yep. And they weren't just like small shots, they were taking some. So I'm sure there'll be some sore bodies tomorrow. But I can tell you this, there's no, everybody's smiling in that locker room.
Congratulations, Coach.
Another famous win for the Belfast Giants in the CHL against Shaq opposition. Let's bring in the man who wore the top scorers jersey going into that match. How are you doing, Kieran Long?
Hello, John.
Yeah, buddy.
How are we?
A busy day, curtain hair?
No, day off today. Well, the boys in the shop said if I scored in Davos or got an assist, I get a week off. But
fair play.
I'll take 1 or 2 days off. I'm not taking a whole week off.
Fabulous. Let's go back to that game. Let's go back to that goal. Let's go back to that trip out to the Swiss Alps. Your thoughts on how that game went? Obviously, you know, a difficult game with regards to the scoreboard. A lovely goal by yourself, as we spoke about earlier, but a very, very tough opposition to face.
Yeah, definitely. We knew they were tough going into it from obviously playing them at home. And We did our pregame skate and it seemed fine. And then just that first period, honestly, I've never experienced anything. I'm not using it as an excuse, but like trying to get your breath back. with the altitude difference was really tough.
Yeah,
that's not an excuse for the slight mistakes we made as a team to concede so many goals early on. But then we picked it up in the next two periods, and we tied 1-1 in the 40 minutes.
I'm actually just sitting there. I never even considered the altitude aspect of that, which there's no real means to get used to that, whereas the HC Davos team will be used to that. It's their home rink.
Yeah, definitely. Honestly, I was coming off the ice at after some shifts, and I'd be like, how am I out of shape? And looking down the bench and seeing quite a few of the other boys still struggling. So I'm like, okay, I'm not out of shape. It's just, it was different. But it was an unbelievable experience, and what an arena to play in.
Without taking the altitude in the account there, we were talking about just the speed and the kind of suffocating penalty kill. We talked about how last year that was a real focal point of the Giants in domestic action, where we would suffocate teams in their own end, especially on the PK. We wouldn't let them get out with no control breakout. We just couldn't transition up the eye because we had our power play opportunities, but they were all over us longer.
Yeah, they are. And when you're playing teams like that, if you try to pay attention and watch, you'll notice their feet never stop moving. They very rarely glide, and when they are gliding, they've been pushing pretty hard, and they're still coming at you at some speed. So it is an adjustment to play these teams. But I think we did do ourselves proud, and we just slipped on a few minor mistakes, and you can't make tiny mistakes against these teams.
Like, is that is portion of that down to them just being slightly deeper than us, that they can roar four full lines and they can just keep going and they can just keep skating, whereas we're slightly less? Like, it's not down to condition, it's not down to, you know, they were just faster and they were just, you know, they were just quicker on the night.
Yeah, I can't remember Davos' sheet, but we're playing guys that have played in the highest leagues in the world. And I mean, it's always going to be difficult.
Let's talk about a positive thing. And sorry, Joel, before you come in, let's talk about wearing that top goal scorer's jersey or the top point scorer. It must be like it doesn't mean an awful lot, but it's like a nice little personal thing in your career.
Yeah, definitely. I also don't like it at all. Didn't really enjoy wearing it. It's like putting a target on your back. Like you said, it's a nice honor. Maybe for a warm-up thing. I'd rather just have my own normal number on the back so no one's targeting you.
Well, then, before Joel comes on, can we talk about the goal in Davos? When, as soon as Goody breaks the half wall and he gets a bit of a breakaway and you can see that there's a two-on-one developing, and you're skating into that, are you begging, are you slapping that stick in the ice going, come on, Goody, I'm open here?
I will, like, just in practice, I know Goody, me and Goody have, like, I kind of know Goody's going to pass that. Skating down the ice, I just wanted to try and distract that defender that we were going down on for a little second, and then I wasn't leaving that one time aside. So I was just opening up and praying that he did give it to me, and luckily he put it right into my wheelhouse.
I know you don't like the jersey, right? But do you get to keep it?
No.
Come on, man. That's one of those cool things that you put on the wall, you know, a long, long time from now, whenever the playing days are over. Another quick one, Longer. Probably one of my favorite plays so far of the season was that goal off the face-off in Belfast against Davos. You can be honest, there's no one watching. It's just us. How much of that was drawn up? Were you trying to go for Laker at the back door? Or did you
if we're being completely honest, and I really don't want to be honest. I've tried that play about seven or eight times with, I nearly got Mac on the back door the one game, and I think I nearly got Norris or Colby. And then the one time it actually works, I didn't touch the puck once.
You what?
Their guy won the puck, and their guy panicked because he saw me jump behind, and he whacked it to the net.
You did not have to disclose that here.
Are you forcing David McGimsey into changing statistics here?
He will too. He's going straight onto that Excel.
It was my idea, so I'm taking it for my idea.
You know, what you did there was force an error, so it's still a pro play. Yeah.
Hang on. Roll back there just ever so slightly. So the point that actually got you the top scorer's jersey.
Well, no, I think by technicality, I still would have got it because I was the last person to score.
That's fair. So, that's fair.
Laker not score the goal?
No, I wore it after the Davos game.
I can't remember now. There's been too many games.
And
congratulations, anyway. It was outstanding.
Yeah.
You forced them into the errors. That's what your job is.
It was my play.
Forcing one of the most storied teams in Europe into that kind of an error in their own zone. What a guy. We talked at the top of the show earlier, whenever we were discussing the games longer, just about the team culture. It's been a topic of conversation since Sunday, since preseason, really. You know, we talked about seeing, you know, Basti throwing himself in front of pucks in preseason, which I absolutely love seeing. It might not be the smartest move, but I love to see it. You're now a couple of seasons in to being a Belfast Giant. You've been in a couple of different locker rooms and had a feel for the boys. How early in the season does that culture become evident? You know, the fascinating thing about our league is that you've got like a couple of weeks to get some team chemistry before you're hitting the ground running. This year more than ever, because we're not going into Challenge Cup group games where if you have an off night, you're probably going to find the points that you need. You're going straight into competition against Europe's best. Can you see it from that kind of training camp, that couple of weeks that you spend together, that this is a group of guys who are determined to win at any cost?
Yeah, definitely. I think like a big factor of that, obviously last season we were quite a new group and there was only a handful of guys that came back from the year before that. But coming into this season, we had quite a big group of guys coming back from a very successful year. So I think the new guys coming in have taken well to what us old boys have kind of our buy-in as well. And yeah, it kind of worked out nicely.
Obviously, that's the CHL behind us now until for a few weeks until Swedish opposition, both home and away.
What's the team called, Paddy?
They're from Sweden.
All right. Nice move.
I'll deal with that when we get to that week. Fife, home and away, to try and retain the Challenge Cup. They had a bit of a weekend there themselves. How's the preparations going for this weekend, mate?
Yeah, good. I think obviously having a bit of a rest from the CHL and then now focusing on to the Challenge Cup that's ahead of us. We're just taking each day as it comes, working hard at practice, getting our workouts in, and yeah, Kiefer doing his thing. His preparation's pretty good so far.
And lastly, you know, obviously since we last spoke, and congratulations, you and Hannah got married. Where's the portrait? Where's the picture? Where's the fantastic picture that was handed over?
On the wall? It's in the back room, and yeah, it's on the fireplace.
It's a lovely picture, David.
Is that the alleyway shot? That was our boy Ryan Hitchman, right?
It was, yeah, but I'm on about the horrible one.
We're talking about the badly drawn one.
Lovely picture.
Sorry, I'm just keep, being overly
keep,
romantic.
We'll keep the future kids away from the fire, so it's okay, you know.
Can I ask one really quickly? We had George Awada on the show last week. Longer, obviously, I think anyway, it's the first time that you've encountered him, a legendary Giant, former captain. He's pretty much done it all with the Belfast Giants. What kind of impact has George made coming in and filling a role that Jeff Mason filled so well? You know, that was someone who was a Giants legend in his own right. What's it like to have him around the place?
Yeah, really good. Like another Port Down guy. What more could you want?
Respect.
Trying to take over everywhere, aren't we? Really good. He's everyone's got to know him. He seems like a really nice guy, and he knows what he's talking about as well. So that's obviously a major factor of him getting the job. So I mean, it's only been a week, but yes, he seems a great guy.
One thing that George Awada, and I know Paddy will agree with me, probably bar none, the greatest penalty killer this club has ever had. And go back and watch old tape of him, unbelievable. The work rate and the blocking shots and the forecheck and backcheck. But Is that something you can actually coach in the players? Is that something that George brings at all? Or is that just, if you're on the penalty kill, you've obviously proven that you can play that kind of game. But, you know, is that something that they try and coach into you?
I believe you can be coached, like, into it. Like, throughout my whole career, I feel like every year I've learned something new. I don't think you're always set in your ways. I think if you're set in your ways, you're not going to get too far in hockey, really. The game steps up every year. Like, and if you're not trying to learn, you're not going to progress.
Yeah. I think one thing Paxton always banged on about and still does on his little, things that he puts on Facebook, be coachable at any stage of life, for me and my job, for Paddy, for Joel, for anybody, whatever job you're in, whatever walk of life you're in, be coachable, you know, and I'll stand you in good stead.
Especially in a barbershop.
Hairdressing as well.
Barbershop. It's not hairdressing, it's barbering.
Barbers.
Barbering.
But you're not hair, Joel.
Hashtag Holdfast, baby.
Well, listen, nice. Mate, we appreciate you coming on and joining us. Well done on the goal against Davos and your honesty on the assist against Davos. And good luck this weekend against Fife.
Hey, it's still my assist. Don't take that.
Yeah, okay. It stays.
Yeah. Nice, Davey. Let's go.
Davey's the man in charge of that. So.
There's no delete button after 24. Once it's 24 hours, can't delete. It's all good.
Nice one, mate. Thanks. See you later.
Cheers, Longer.
Yeah.
Big thanks to Kieran Long for joining us on that. And, well, we've got another guest straight away coming in. A man we know very, very well. Hi, Simon.
There he is. Let's go.
We're putting the band back together.
I heard your numbers are good today. Well, he's asked me to come back on to help you get them back up again.
Thank you. Going up, well, 88.
Obviously, Simon, you've had a couple of weeks off from the boy. You've had a long time off, but from behind the mic, you've been busy at other parts of the chance.
Missed one bit.
But this weekend sees you return behind the mic on Giants TV. And how's the preparation going for that?
I'm going to be honest, I haven't even looked at it. I've been that busy in the office side of things, trying to, obviously CHL's taken preference over everything over the last 4 or 5 weeks pre-season. But, literally, I've got a list of stuff to do this week. I've actually started following the Fife Flyers on social media. Again, I mute them all during the summer. I don't listen to any of it during the summer, so... You know, as it gets a week to the game, I start paying attention to what it is. But they had a couple of good results at the weekend. And I think they'll, listen to a couple of interviews from Todd Dudium. They're looking as if they're putting a good team together and obviously still missing a few guys. So no idea if they're going to be in the lineup between now and Saturday. But look, it's a tough place to go into. Back or home and away against the Fife Flyers this weekend, it's not going to be easy.
How did you take the Champions Hockey League from the Giants' perspective, both from your own perspective and the organization?
Organization has been very good. We've talked about it on here numerous occasions. Do we go CHL or is it better to go Continental Cup? I think that the experience this year, when you look at when the draw was made back in June, when you basically have. The travel, the schedule, where we're going this year, it's all three of them are not easy places to get to. Probably the first one is going to be the easiest with regards to Trinitch. And then obviously, the last Wednesday night, the boys had to travel down to Dublin, stay overnight in Dublin with a 4:30 alarm clock, get an early flight to Zurich, and then a 3-hour bus ride, delayed in the airport, both sides. Getting back on Saturday was a problem because the Aer Lingus had a number in their pants because their IT broke down. The whole thing was very, very lucky that the boys actually got back, because if it had been an hour and a half, 2 hours later, they might not have been back on Saturday at all. So when you're playing against teams the likes of Davos, who are chartering a jet everywhere, Trinitch, who chartered their own plane for their management and their owner, and they chartered a plane for their fans and their team. So when you're playing against teams like that and the money that they have available to do basically whatever they want, I thought we put a very, very good account up of ourselves up against all the teams. Maybe a bit of a lapse in concentration in each game, apart from Sunday's game. I don't think anybody could argue about that. Conceding a couple of goals quickly in the game on last Friday. Goals in, what was it, a minute and 20 seconds or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's never easy to recover from, but to come back out in the second period, Jonesy played lights out on Friday night, and he played absolutely amazing on Sunday. So, yeah, it's been a decent four games, but there's still two to go, and arguably against the best team in the group. So all to do when we get to Shalefteå. Paddy.
Shalefteå. Thanks, man.
Absolute fully, Patrick.
Then it goes out there in... are you still doing that flipping tones and numbers and all? So we've got to go. We've got to come here the 4th of October, and we got to go there a week later.
Talk about the levels, says. I know you may have talked on the phone about the levels, and we'll talk slightly longer there about it. These teams are all slightly deeper than us. They can run four full lines where we probably have a centre chipping in on the fourth line to make up the numbers there, and they can just go flat to the mat. He was talking about, you watch these teams, they never stop moving their feet the whole game. They don't glide into hits. They skate, and they skate to the bench, and they skate on and off. You know, you can't do very much about that. You just have to hang in for as long as you can. And in games, we've hung in pretty much for 40, 50 minutes. Yeah, we'll take that little 3-4 minute period in the first period in Davos where the game got away from us. But generally, we've skated with these teams for the best part of the game, maybe fatigue kicking in the last 10 minutes of each game.
Look at Trinitz.
Plus it's pre-season, more or less.
Yeah. So Trinitz, if you look at Trinitz, we're speaking to Thorch about this, Trinitz skate more or less 12 months of the year. They take a couple of weeks off. They'll skate for 3 weeks, take a week off in the summer, skate back for 3 weeks, take another week off. Ultimately, that's it. Their star players will play a little bit less, but that's it. That they literally skate all year round. Davos isn't much different. Yes, they've got a couple of superstars that, you know, come in. And when you're talking about, you know, if you're looking about budgets and stuff like that, I mean, there's guys in that team that are earning not a hit kicking the ass off what our whole team's earning. yeah. And that's what you're up against. Like,
Mental.
You know, you're playing against arguably one of the best teams, you know, European-wide and over the last 15, 20 years. Davos have been absolutely amazing. And, you know, obviously, Laura and Kelly are my colleagues at the, and well, you know Laura Small, but Kelly Kingsley Smith within the commercial side of things. They both went to Davos. It was absolutely amazing. They absolutely loved it. You know, and when you get the opportunity for trips like that, and obviously the fans that all went as well. I've seen a couple of posts coming up there that, you know, people enjoying the trip. And that's what it's all about. You know, if you can get away to a European trip with a hockey team, go and do it. Because it's arguably the best trips that you'll make, because I mean, listen to the atmosphere that was happening in Davos last Friday night, and even the Trinitz, there's 140, 150 Trinitz fans in the SSE Arena on Sunday, and they made a lot of noise as well until we went 2-0 up, and then all of a sudden somebody pressed the mute button. It's amazing. I think we've done really, really well in the four games that we've had, Davey. But again, it's a massive step up. Let's not get away from that. It's a huge step up from the level that our guys are at. And if you look at the way we played on Sunday, Adam gave him an extra day off. So, you know, they must have done something right in his eyes, because he can be a bit tight, hard on some of the players and training, especially this early in the season, because he wants them to be at their peak. And I thought Sunday, if we played like that against any team in the Elite League this year, we're going to wipe a slate.
Well, more than down.
Yeah, so I was going to actually ask, you know, I haven't heard the stories from Davey and on this podcast of sort of you and your playing days and the type of player that you were. This Giants team is really exciting. They're physical. They seem ready and willing to sacrifice their bodies. You obviously are around the boys, maybe more than anyone kind of outside of the playing staff. What are your thoughts on this team that's been assembled this year and their kind of prospects for the season ahead?
I think, I mean, again, when you look at guys coming in at the start of the season and for pre-season, everybody came in shape. And that's, mm-hmm. you know, that I think they all realize that, you know, the way we're sitting right now, we've got 16 imports on our books. So, yes, you can all play in the CHL, but two of them have got to sit coming this weekend. You know, you can't play everybody. And that's, you know, if you're a hockey player at all, and if you've got the right attitude, you want to play every single game. You do not want to be one of the guys getting cut, especially in the first home game of the Elite League domestic competition. You do not want to be sitting and as a guy who's basically been scratched for the first home game. You just don't. So, I mean, when you look at the guys that come in, they all come in shape. Adam is really pleased with the skating tests and pre-season. And obviously, again, there was a few games missed out because of issues with off the ice side of things. But everybody's ready to go now. They've all been firing on all cylinders, more or less. A couple of little niggles, but you get that throughout the season. And hopefully, everybody will be ready to go. They've had the extra day off this week, which boys will really appreciate. You know, it's been a tough couple of weeks with travel to, Czech Republic and obviously Switzerland, and then the four games against much higher opposition. So I think we're, the guys this year are looking. There's three or four guys have really stood out for me already. One of them's, Mark Cooper. He's returning this year. He has come in beast mode, and you've seen that first couple of games this season. He's throwing hits about. The referees, you're going to get it at every single level. Neither of them were penalties to me. And nope, even,
discussing this.
There's never a penalty. Never in a million years. That one, especially the first game of the other night. But, Ben Lake, again, come in beast mode. Those two playing together with Gilbert on the right wing the left wing to start things off. It's been great start to the season, but it's only four games in. We haven't played against the Elite League competition yet. So that's where it's going to, You certainly want to try and stay at the level that you've been playing at for the last four games, but it's going to be tough because teams that we're playing against now, they're not probably and arguably not going to be as good as the other teams, but they're going to play a different system, so they're going to get the man behind the puck. They're going to have find different ways to go at them. Whereas the likes of Davos, every single one of them can see 100 miles an hour. I watched them and when they came in here, Sunday week, I was down and watched the morning skate. It's just ridiculous how fast these guys can see it, especially when you're standing right beside the gate. They can really move. And Trinidad again at the weekend. There's some big boys in that team, and look at the 17-year-old kid. I thought he did very, very well.
Yep.
So again, this is what you're up against, but it's all about the challenges you put in front of you, and you want to go out there and win. It's that simple.
Just to come back before Paddy goes there, it says on the, and you're talking about a couple of healthy scratches on the import side of things this weekend. How much will that drive the team to not be the one that's sitting out? How much will that be? If you're the guy sitting out, you're going to be chomping at the bit to get back in the team. So everybody has to be on their game to keep their place in the roster.
Don't know who it's going to be. Only
no, Adam but ultimately. There's going to be two sitting in that. Will that, from your perspective, will that drive the rest of the guys that not want to be the guys sitting up in the media box?
I hope so. Yeah. I wouldn't like to think that this guy's going, I wouldn't mind a night off. You're four games into the season. I would like to think, and again, the attitude's been decent this year. The guys are, there's nobody, what it's like. Everybody says they're a great bunch of guys and they do this and they do that, but they really are. There's some really nice guys in this team this year. Some of the newcomers, Colby McCauley, what a character he is. He's probably just a, when you look at Scott Conway, he's just a bigger, bolder Scott Conway.
Dear God.
Collins is just an absolute, savage. We talked about him last year. He's just lethal. There's other guys. Peyton Jones is a really good lad, and the couple of the defensive boys, Matt Foley's really good kid, Will Cullen. There's some really good characters in this team again, and you need that about a dressing room. So hopefully, as I say, they're back on the ice tomorrow morning. Hopefully, that Adam's gonna, let's just say they've probably been enjoying themselves the last couple of days. So I would say they'll be in for a bit of a skate the morning. One or two of them have blown out their arse by about half the morning. But that's what you get. You just sort of have to suck it up and get on with it.
Well, yeah, it's good to see you, mate. You're back behind the mic on Saturday for Giants TV. Obviously, get down to the arena to see the game. But if they can't, they'll see you and maybe one of those scratch players stand beside you, possibly.
See, this is the thing. I don't really like asking the guys who've been scratched.
They don't
want to
be in that position.
No, they don't. Might have to. I'm waiting for a call from Big Graham Walton. Hopefully he's going to be available. Wally's interested in doing more, and Gareth Martin really enjoys it.
Oh, Gareth Martin's good with that as well, yeah.
Yeah, Dicko, you know, Dicko sort of, yeah. You know, he'll avoid me on the morning of the game. he'll stay on the ice. Normally, Dicko comes off of the last boy on the ice, but he'll even stay on there on his own if he sees me hanging about the gate, because he knows what's coming like. So I don't know what's going to happen with who's on Saturday. I really don't know who's on Saturday night with me yet at all. So we'll hopefully find that out the next day or so.
No doubt it'd be good to have you get behind that, Mike. Before you go, I'd like your opinion on something. Davey shared this with me as well. Maybe you can share. Who's this, Davey?
Oh, boys, you better give a big shout out to these two characters Frank here.
Kelly, two absolute rocks.
Big Mark and Kelly, who they're like, they get everywhere. They were unbelievably, says, in the cockpit of the airplane on the way back from Davos at the weekend.
That sounds about
right. At the World Championships, they're chauffeured around in like the head man's car. These guys, they travel all over the country in GB here to Giants away games to help Taff out, help set up the locker room, help him out getting everything packed up and away. Two absolutely Giants legends that maybe not everybody knows, but if you see these guys in an away game, give them a high five or a hug because they're absolute legends. Yep. Legends in their own lifetime.
They did one. They were telling me they went the first year we were the GB were up on the top level. Taff was telling me. So they went, where was that year? I can't remember where it was, but anyway, wherever it was.
You went to it, was it not out Slovakia or somewhere? You went to
Slovenia, Slovakia,
France to stay up. You were at the game.
No, it didn't go that year. It was the year before. I went to two of them a year before. They haven't been at the top level, but I can't remember. Anyway, wherever it was. And they just arrive with their GB gear on, and they walk straight in through the door. Security says, "Hi, Metin, how are you?" You know, put his hand out to shit. They've just got balls of steel. Like they just don't mind walking up to you and just going, "We're going straight on in here." And they walk straight in through the door and straight into Team Canada's room. Like walk Amazing. Straight through the door into Team Canada's room. And they ended up being best mates with the equipment manager of Team Canada. And then when they came back out of there, and they were walking out, and they ended up bumping into Rennie Fassell, who was at that time he was the head of the IIHF. Sitting chatting away to Rennie, Mr. Fassell, and you know, this is great. And he says, no problem at all. Wherever they were going, they were playing. Do you know what? It was in Zurich. It was in Zurich because they were playing, and I think it was Bern. They were playing the 16 teams are split. So they were basically playing in Switzerland, and they basically were looking to get from, they were, I think Team Canada were playing Russia, or maybe it might have been USA. And they basically said, you'd really like to go to that game, you know, but it's really difficult to get tickets. Rennie Fassell says, no problem at all. I'll play the car. I'll give you VIP tickets to all the games. And then they just go back again the following year. They were in Helsinki this year. Same thing, walk straight in. But they're two absolute rockets, like two really, really top men.
I've seen him a few times in Manchester working with Taff and all the equipment out. But some of the photographs you boys are sending through of these lads and where they're getting to, absolutely remarkable. You gotta love it.
Why we're just giving them a quick, I've sent you another picture there to throw up if you have time. There's a guy played for the Edmonton Oilers, Nurse or something.
Darnell Nurse.
So they're sitting having breakfast in the Team Canada hotel. And Darnell Nurse comes and sits down beside him, and they're just like, all right, big lad, how's it going? Oh, and he goes, just want some orange juice. Darnell Nurse is up getting them their two orange at the World Championships. I'm bringing it down to set it down for these two guys, and they're like, all right, big lad, cheers. Thanks.
Amazing.
So but two nicer guys you'll never meet. You just will not meet.
Two top lads. Brilliant. Can I say something for a go?
Yes, go for it.
The OSC are back this Saturday. The OSC desk will be open Saturday. Membership's available. The bench club's back this year. So if you want to join the bench club for the week, begin the 24th of, sorry, the week off the 24th of September, right the whole way through the season, get your name down there. We're going to organize events this year. We're going to have, as I say, we're going to have more interaction with the coaches, and we're doing a coaching session. Adam's going to do a coaches night in W5 in October. So quite a few other bits and pieces happen. I'm literally just back from an OSC meeting there tonight. So brilliant. Yeah, a bit of crack this year again, back to normal.
Absolutely brilliant. The OSC do some brilliant work for the club. They do some brilliant fundraising for the club and do some brilliant events and all that sort of stuff. So it's good to see it back in a big way, mate.
Tip top.
This says, as always, thank you very much, mate. It's good to see you. We'll catch up.
Hey, I know it's about you know, heating or eating, Davey, but that beer's crap, by the way. You need to get better brand beer than that.
It's the kind of beer I would drink.
It was $6 for $4, so it was either drinking.
I'm not surprised it's $6 for $4. There's $6 for $4 for a reason.
Yeah, because you can buy them and still have the heating on.
Megan, get yourself a pint of Heineken, mate. You'll be all right.
With thanks to our sponsors, Red Stripe.
Is it made by Heineken?
Made by Heineken, says.
There you go. Yes, okay. Good lad. I'll let you off that then. Good shout. Good lad.
Cheers, says.
All right, Jan, says later. Cheers. Thanks,
good to see Simon again. And yes, he will be behind the mic on Saturday.
Wouldn't go that
7
far,
p.m. Like. At the SSE Arena. Get down to that if you can. And if not, join him on Giants TV and who knows, we'll be beside him. Right, we're, 1 hour, 5 minutes. We're going to wrap this show up pretty soon. Mr. Joel Neil News.
Really quickly, boys. Yeah, just to bring you up to speed on what's been happening and why we've been off on our adventures. There were 3 All-Scottish games in the Challenge Cup at the weekend as the domestic season got underway. Firstly, I don't know if you were following this, the first game of the season, absolutely bananas encounter between Glasgow and Fife in Brayhead, which saw the Flyers open their season with a 6-5 road win. The Clan had led 3-1 heading into the third period before Todd Didium's side scored 5 goals in just under 8 minutes, 3 of them on the power play. Amazing. Glasgow mounted a late comeback attempt with goals in the 57th and 58th minute, but fell short of their equaliser. What a way to start the year.
Was there any good sound bites from
Matt? Haven't managed to listen to Malky's post game, but you can probably assume it was electric. And on Saturday, I'm just going to call them this all year now. Jeff Mason's Dundee Stars blanked the Flyers 3-0 in Kirkcaldy. And on Sunday, the Stars made it a 4-point weekend with a 4-3 win over Glasgow at the DIA. So fair play, Mace, for a 4-point weekend to start the year. In the Premier Sports Elite League, the Coventry Blaze needed OT to find a way past the Storm in Aldi on Friday, winning 5-4. Elsewhere, the Steelers lost 3-1 at home to Cardiff, and the Nottingham Panthers clinched a home OT win over the Guildford Flames. On Sunday, the Blaze made it a 4-pointer of their own with a 2-1 win over the Panthers at the Sky Dome. Excuse me, the Cardiff Devils dismantled the Manchester Storm in Wales, winning 8-1. Tough to see. And Sheffield travelled to Guildford to get things back on track with a 4-1 victory. Your Premier Sports Game of the Week this week is on Thursday, as Jeff Mason's Dundee Stars host the 5 Flyers in the Cup, hoping to go 3-0 on the season. And just a quick one on the CHL. In the Champions Hockey League, 6 sides have already qualified for the round of 16 knockout stage with 2 group games still to go. Lilea, EV Zug, Red Bull Munich, Tapara Tampere, Angleholm and the Zurich Lions are all in the hat. Patrick Smith's Berlin Eisbären Berlin are still in the mix, but sit 3rd in Group G, 3 points behind Mountfield, and absolutely dominant 4-time CHL champs for Lunde. That is the group of death there. The Giants, for the record, are still mathematically in the hunt, but would need 2 regulation wins over that Swedish team for a chance at progressing. Skellefteå. Easy. Yeah. Not a baller, big lad.
No Skellefteå.
Skellefteå. And that's your news, Patrick Smith.
Fabulous. Good. Just a quick note for the Sheffield Steelers. They're now 1 win out of the last 8 competitive games. Really feel for them.
Sheffield Steelers can't pay enough. Yep.
No, it's tough break.
Hate to see that.
Get to see it. 1 win out of 8 games competitively.
Really hate to see that.
Belfast Giants are back in domestic competition this weekend. As we've said, Saturday at 7 p.m. at the SSE Arena, they will face the 5 Flyers in Challenge Cup competition. And then they will fly over to the Kingdom of Fife to Kirkcaldy to face the same opposition at the Fife Ice Arena, 6 p.m. on Sunday. And I'm sure that will be on Flyers TV. Just briefly, I'll go to you, Joel, because Davey hits this part. But this is a team, you know, Fife, they've got results. You've said about the result against the Glasgow Clan at the weekend that they can find a goal. From the Giants' point of view, it's just about keeping that momentum. As Simon said earlier on, we have to drop 2 imports and, you know, this team will have to fight for, they'll have to fight for their places. But, you know, we have the drive, we have the ability, and if these 2 weekends have shown it, we can win these games.
It's a different animal whenever you come back to your domestic season. You know, there maybe, with no, no disrespect to the 5 Flyers, but there maybe isn't the same sense of occasion coming into a weekend where you're getting your Challenge Cup group underway, because let's be honest, boys, and I'm not going to tempt fate, but historically speaking, the Challenge Cup group has not been a hard thing for the Belfast Giants to get out of. You know, it's not like you're coming into a massive occasion, massive game. So it's back to bread and butter. It's time for this team to show that what we've seen in Europe, they can do domestically, against obviously a slightly different type of hockey, against maybe a more physical, a more gritty teams that are going to try and kind of wear you down and get in your face a little bit. But yeah, look, it's all part of it. I want to lift that Challenge Cup yet again, just as much as I want to lift any other trophy. So let's hit the ground running this weekend and absolutely stuff them.
You're a nod of the head, David.
Yes.
Can't argue agree. That. I want to win every single shift. I want to win every period. I want to win. I remember you talking about it years ago on a podcast, and was out riding my bike listening to it on my little, I've talked about this before, my little MP3 player. You could put one AAA battery in and just plugged into it. And you talked about wanting to win every, you have to, what was it? You set out for perfection and you accept, I can't remember what exactly the term was.
Don't let perfection be the enemy of the good.
Nice.
No, that wasn't it, but that is good. But it's you know, you have to aim to win absolutely everything, and you settle for just a wee bit less than that, but you don't settle for mediocrity, that's for certain. And the Belfast Giants have to go out to try and win the Challenge Cup. We have to go out to try and win the CHL, boys. We have to go out to try and, you know, win the league, win the playoffs, win everything going, because that is the heritage of this great club. That is the blue collar, rock 'em, sock 'em. What was it Todd Kelman called it years ago? Kick-ass hockey is back, you know, and this weekend starts the domestic season, which is our bread and butter. And much as we love our European adventures, you know, this is the real business, starts this weekend, and Fife, we're covering for you.
Absolutely. Saturday, 7 p.m. at the SSE Arena. Get yourself down there or join Mr. Kitchen on Giants TV. And did Kitchy find that rubber jersey? Did he?
I don't know, but I've offered to swap that rubber jersey for a guitar from someone that owns a guitar shop who's not interested. So it'll just go in my drawer forever. I'll use it for polishing the car or something, you know.
And then Sunday over to the Kingdom of Fife, as we said, to face the Fife Flyers, the second domestic game in the Challenge Cup against the Fife Flyers in Kirkcaldy, 6 p.m. on Sunday. Any other business?
Let's go.
We need to wrap this, but just one really quickly, and I'll retweet this onto the AVFTB socials after the show tonight. Giants operations manager James Glover tweeted tonight to say that at the end of next month, he's off to Argentina with Inline Hockey Ireland to compete in the World Skate Games. Massive financial commitment annually for the players, and they've put together some really, really nice sponsorship packages to try and offset the costs for the team. These are amateur players who are out of their own pocket making this happen and going to compete. So if you wouldn't mind checking our socials, if you run a business yourself, if you have family who run a business, or if you know hockey people who are maybe doing all right at the minute and would like to contribute and help out a really nice wee cause to get the boys away to go and compete, I'll retweet that tonight.
Yeah, it's great work. Is the coach needing sponsored? Sorry?
The which?
Is the coach of the team needing sponsored?
Glover?
Yeah.
I mean, is that an offer from your friends at Aviv from the Bridge?
No, it's not from Viewing the Bridge. It's a philanthropic, you know, gesture from Davey Boy, you know, that might help the coach out, you know.
I'll throw my name on it.
Get your people to talk to my people.
If the coach could find his way to the post office sometime soon, I'd be happy to help him out. But I've been checking the door for some post, and he said he'd send me something through, but it's not arrived.
This is like the other coach in the Puma rep, you know. Every lorry that goes past the door, I'm like, oh, no, it's never. Oh,
did that stuff never come?
No. Oh, dear. I think Ed Sheeran's wearing it, but... we give a wee shout out too to the CEO of the Odyssey Trust who's watching and you know, say no more. Just be careful what you say.
Evening, boss.
Yeah. Is there anything from yourself, Davey? Otherwise, I've got one last thing to throw in.
Oh, just that the Rain or Razor for 2022, it is in discussion. Exactly what we're going to do. There is something coming really, really soon because we'd like to try and use our platform for some form of good. And this year we've got something quite exciting. We did the stats-based one last year. We saw a little tweak on it, but I need to talk to Rainer, I need to talk to Smalls, I need to talk to Says and get this just across the line. You have seen the cutting floor rejects. So hopefully there'll be something in the next 7 days, and next Tuesday night, we will be able to get people on board for what we're going to try and do.
And just one last thing, I think I noticed on social media, I know that Laura Small had shared it, it's the fact that obviously we had the sad news about Jim Gillespie, but that he will be returning home. Is that, did I read that correctly, Davey?
Yeah, did indeed. Cremated, obviously, out in Texas and coming home this week. I think it's Thursday, Joel, down in Bangor direction.
Yes.
There's a service down in Bangor for anybody, I guess, that wants to go down and show their gratitude and internment somewhere about Bangor as well. Well, am I right or wrong? I honestly, mate, you threw me a curveball there, Paddy, because Joel did send the information, but it just don't have in front of me. So
yeah, we'll try to get the information correct, and we'll make sure that
let's get the information out on our socials, as Joel says. We've got Insta, Facebook, Twitter, and if you can, it's during the day, obviously, and if you can get along on Thursday, get along and no dark colours, I think, was the only caveat, wasn't it?
Absolutely. And if there's anything else, gents, we'll wrap it up there. Two games for the Belfast Giants on Saturday and Sunday. Domestic competition in the Challenge Cup. Back, as Davey said, our bread and butter. There you go. So calls church 10 a.m. on Thursday. Nice. Thanks, Lynchy, for the information there for regards to Jim Gillespie. Yep, so Fife Flyers, home and away, Saturday, 7 p.m. at the SSE Arena, Sunday, 6 p.m. over in Kirkcaldy. Big thanks to Simon Kitchen for joining us, Kieran Long. You can get us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, kingdomofthegiants.com, all your podcast providers. Mr. McGimsey and Mr. Neil, good to see you.
Thanks, boys. Always a pleasure.
All the best, lads.
Wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey, and we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge.